We want to go into the book of Romans as we continue our series through this beautiful book. And we're in chapter 15 for our message today. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 13. The scripture says, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for your instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing your name." Again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people," and again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him." Again, Isaiah says, "There shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your word. Come and minister only as you can. I pray, Lord, you'd open up our hearts and our ears to receive your word. Come and anoint by your Spirit, Lord. May your word go forth unhindered by the vessel of flesh. We pray that you would be lifted up and you would be glorified. Lord Jesus, work your will in our lives. Holy Spirit, we surrender to you and we ask that you'd have your way. We give you praise and glory as we look into your holy word now. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that the purpose of this church is to glorify God, win the lost, and edify believers. I think that's a threefold purpose of all churches, is to glorify God, win the lost, and edify believers. However, I think our highest calling as believers is to glorify God. Give God all the glory and all the praise. The devil will always try to take our focus away from glorifying God. I know we have an enemy of our soul, and he's out to get your eyes off Jesus. Get your eyes off of Jesus and onto other things. I remember I got saved back at Christmas Eve, 1968. It's a long time now. I didn't have my eyes on Jesus until then. But once I got saved, my eyes turned to Jesus Christ. You know, this past Christmas Eve, I was 50 years old in Christ. 50 years I walked with my eyes on Jesus and haven't taken them off of the Master, because Jesus is the one who's going to watch over us. He's going to be the one who leads us, guides us, and directs us. I remember the brother that led me to the Lord. He said, "George, I love you like a son, but," he said, "I'm only a man and I could fail you. Don't get your eyes on me or anybody else. Get your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because he is never going to fail you. He's never going to let you down. Jesus is the one." And so I never want to take my eyes off of Jesus Christ as my example, as my mentor, as my Savior, as my Redeemer, my Baptizer, my Healer, my coming King. I look to Jesus. and I'm waiting for him. He might come today. Hallelujah. Could you imagine if he came today? Wow, what a glorious day that would be. Because he's on the throne and he's coming. We don't know when he's coming, but we know he's coming. And so I think this passage of scriptures, I look at it, is teaching us to glorify God for our master's ministry. The master, Jesus Christ, had a ministry and it was glorious. And it is glorious. And we want to give him glory. We want to praise him. And the first reason I see to give him glory or to glorify God is because he gives solid acceptance. Or if you want another word, solid salvation. He gives us acceptance. You know, a lot of people don't accept us. But the Master, he accepts us. If we come to him, you're guaranteed he's going to open his arms and receive you to himself. That's the kind of God we serve. Jesus Christ has accepted us. Verse 7 says, therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Jesus accepted us. Even when we were repulsive, I remember I had no love for God. I had no desire for God. But he came and he received me and changed me. That's the miracle of Christianity. Jesus Christ is in the business of getting into the hearts of people and transforming them. That's what Jesus does. You know, the Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Can you imagine? We're spitting in his face, we're blaspheming him, and he hung on that cross to save you, to give you salvation. What a Savior. Makes my heart full of praise because I know he's the one who's redeemed me. He's the one who can redeem anyone. If you come to Christ, he'll set you free. He gives you new life. Jesus didn't concern himself about pleasing himself, as we see in verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. This is a quote from Psalm 69 in verse 9, which states that Jesus endured reproach and insults because of his faithfulness to God. He came to do the will of his Father. When he came to this earth, he knew he was coming to do the will of his Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, what a beautiful passage there. And Jesus was praying about the bitter cup of suffering that he was about to drink for the sins of the world. You remember how he said to his disciples, come part and let's pray for an hour. And Jesus goes and he prays and he comes back and those poor disciples, they were sleeping. And Jesus said, what, could you not watch with me for an hour? And he said, I must go again. And he prayed. And Jesus prayed, sweating drops of blood. You can imagine the agony of his soul. Not only was he praying because he knew he was going to go through physical suffering, he had terrible suffering, as you think and remember what happened on the cross, what happened in all that led up to the cross, the suffering Christ went through. And yet beyond that is the spiritual agony of being separated from his Father. When he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he took the sin of mankind upon himself. He took my sin. He took your sin. That's our Jesus. And he hung on that cross for your life and for my life. Amen. What a Savior. What a God. There's nobody that loves you like Jesus. Jesus went to the cross that you could have eternal life. He knew the awfulness of being forsaken by God. the bearing of the divine wrath against sin as he hung on that cross, having his Father turn away from him, of dying the cursed death of the cross to take the punishment that sinners deserve. With all this weight on Jesus, he still remains submitted to the will of his heavenly Father. And he ends his prayer with this: Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. What a God! What a Savior! That he went to the cross and endured the agony of his soul and the agony of the flesh, knowing he was dying for you. He was dying for me. He died for all of us. Our Lord Jesus Christ left heaven's glory to be robed in flesh through the virgin birth, which is the message of Christmas. Enduring the pain and the abuse and the shame and the torture and the death and the resurrection, which is the message of Easter, to provide for our salvation. Isn't he awesome? Isn't he glorious? What a Savior we have! There's nobody that loves you like Jesus. Nobody. He did all this for us, and he didn't insist on his rights, and neither should we. Though through his awesome ministry, he made a way available so that a holy God could solidly accept an unholy people. You know, it doesn't matter how unholy, how wicked you were, when you come to Jesus, his arms are open. Amen. And he takes you in and he washes you clean, because that's the type of Savior he is. And so we need to accept one another, brothers and sisters. Our aim in life should be to do the will of God, putting aside our own selfish desires, that our lives may be spiritually helpful to those with whom we come in contact. When we're thinking about our fellow believers' welfare, we will put his spiritual well-being above our own personal desires. We should be happy to give up something we enjoy, even if it's perfectly lawful and proper, to be a real help to a brother in Christ. We follow the Lord Jesus as our great example. He freely accepted us, and so we need to accept each other. Let us give glory to God for the Master's ministry, because he gives us solid acceptance, solid salvation. You can come to him anytime, and his arms are open to receive you. That's Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. He receives sinners. But secondly, we need to give glory to God for the Master's ministry because he gives sincere unity. And we see that in verses 5 to 11. Verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant to you the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Christ unifies us in one accord. We are unified in one heart. That is, we love the same one, and so we ought to love one another. When we're in one accord, we have a deep love and respect for saints. Even if we disagree on some matters, we can agree to disagree and still love each other and work together for God's glory. The new members who came up and were accepted into the membership of the church today, they all signed and stated that they believe our doctrinal statement. They believe what we as a church believe. That's the unity of the Spirit. That's that sincere unity that Christ gives, that we're all in one mind. Mature believers exercise this unity given them by God through his word. We're able to experience deep oneness of spirit, enabling us to overlook our petty differences with each other. God encourages us to feed our souls upon his word. to be encouraged to live above envying and jealousy. Jesus manifested a sympathetic understanding of his disciples. If anybody knew what man goes through, Jesus knew. He took on the robe of flesh, and he knows what you suffer. He knows the agony that you go through. He knows the temptations and the trials and the tribulations. And when the disciples showed a weakness of faith, Jesus was there, and he knew what they were like. When they lacked courage to publicly identify themselves with him in the dreadful hours between Gethsemane and Calvary, Jesus knew. Remember, Jesus told Peter, "You're going to deny me three times." Peter says, "I'll never deny you." What happened? Three times, Peter denied Jesus. Don't think you're so powerful. Don't think you're so great. He's the one that's great. He's the one that empowers us. He's the one that gives us strength to be holy. It's not anything in ourselves. It's Jesus Christ who gives us the glory and the power to be holy people of God. Remember when they were in the storm and the storm was raging and Jesus was sleeping. And they came to the master and shook him. "Don't you care that we're going to die?" And Jesus stood up and he said to the storm, "Peace, be still." That's my Savior. That's the one I serve. When we're in the storms of life, look to Jesus. He's there and he is with us wherever we go. Trust him and he'll be there. Whatever storm you face, whatever problem, whatever tribulation, Jesus is the one that we can trust. He understood their failures and graciously reassured them after his resurrection. Remember Peter? How Peter denied the Lord three times, and then after the resurrection, when Peter sees the resurrected Christ, Jesus comes forth and he's there and he's talking with Peter. And three times Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." "Peter, do you love me?" I think Jesus was getting a point across. You love Jesus. You walk with Jesus and he'll take care of you. He'll take you through whatever storm, whatever trial you have. That's the kind of God we serve. He's in the middle of the storm with us. And he's the one that's going to keep that boat sailing. Whether water gets in or not, Jesus is the one who's with us. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the greatest example of selfless and compassionate ministry. Look to Christ as the model of kindness, unity, and humility. Jesus Christ gives us sincere unity that destroys racial prejudice. Scripture is totally opposed to prejudice. We as people of God should have no prejudice in our hearts and lives. After Jesus came on the scene, you know, the Jews, they were very prejudiced against the Gentiles. Heathen dogs. The Jews hated the Gentiles. But it was Jesus who brought that rift to an end. It was Jesus who took Jews and Gentiles and made the Church of Christ. He made the church of both Jews and Gentiles. Doesn't matter who you are. The arms of Christ are open for you to come to him. That's the Savior we serve. After the ministry of Jesus, now Jews and Gentiles praise God together and give him glory. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit helps us to develop a Christ-like attitude towards one another and feel the bond of unity which makes us one with all who love Christ. We are one family serving one true God. Let us give glory to God for the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he gives us solid acceptance or salvation, because he gives us sincere unity, and thirdly, because he gives secure hope. We have a hope that is built on the rock. We have a hope that is secure. Verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for your instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope." And then verse 5 says, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus." Verse 4 teaches us that the Word of God gives us hope, and perseverance comes from trials. You know, the Bible doesn't say when you come to Christ and everything's rosy. You'll never have any problems when you come to Christ. He'll solve all your problems. It doesn't say that. In fact, the Bible tells us we may have a lot more problems when you come to Christ. In fact, it says here in verse 3 of Romans chapter 5, "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Hallelujah. It's awesome to walk with God. Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems or trials. You may have more, but when you walk with God, He's walking with you through those trials. You know, I remember when I got cancer in 2008, colon cancer, and had to have surgery and was lying in bed there for 17 days with infection and everything. I remember thinking, "Why me, Lord?" And it was like God said, "Why not you?" And I woke up realizing I'm no better than anybody else. We're all equal. And there's many people that go through deep waters and through problems and through trials. Let's give God the praise and glory in those trials. And as you do, He gets the glory. He gets the praise. He's an awesome Savior. Let us magnify Him and give Him the glory and praise. Today, the world needs hope, and hope is the result of our trials. The only secure hope is in Jesus Christ, who gives eternal life to those who come to Him. You know, looking back, we see the cross of Christ, His resurrection, His ascension to heaven, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We see all those events from history, from the Scriptures. But looking ahead, our faith centers upon the glorious return of Jesus Christ our Lord. I love that scripture in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." You know, the blessed hope of the Church of Jesus Christ is the rapture, when Jesus comes in the clouds of glory. And we are raptured, caught up to be with Him in the clouds of glory. What a day that's going to be. Might be today. We don't know when that will be. But we're watching and waiting, looking for that coming. I've been waiting 50 years. I don't know when He's coming. But I know it's closer. It's 50 years closer than when I first got saved. I know He's coming. And I'm looking forward. But if He doesn't come in my time, well, I'm going to be there anyhow, because there's the vehicle of death that will usher me into His presence. So our life is glorious, walking with God, expecting Him to come today, and living a life that honors Him and glorifies Him, keeping your eyes on the Master. You know, the rapture of the church is followed by 7 years of tribulation, as we study in prophecy, and then after the 7 years of tribulation comes the second advent, or second coming of Christ down to the earth, where He comes riding on the clouds of glory, as Revelation 19 talks, with the sword, and he comes and he destroys the Antichrist and all the system of this world to establish his kingdom, where you and I will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That's the future of the Church of Christ. And then we go into the eternal state. The life of the believer is awesome because we have eternal life. We're going to live forever. You know, they hunt all over the world looking for the fountain of youth. You want the fountain of youth? Come to Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus Christ and you will live forever. Each one of us who know Christ as our Savior, you're going to live forever. So put your hand in each other's hands and trust the Lord. Doesn't matter about our differences and our arguments or whatever you have. Trust the Lord. You're going to live forever with him. So learn to get along together now. Trust him. Walk with him. And love each other. Give him the praise and the glory. He will reign in his kingdom. He will establish his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. And he will rule as a righteous ruler. You know, theocracy is awesome. Because you have a ruler who rules in righteousness. All these dictatorships, they're not ruling in righteousness. But Jesus Christ is the righteous king. And when he establishes his kingdom, he is going to rule in righteousness. He'll never make a mistake. He'll never do something wrong because Jesus is the Lord of glory. And he's coming to establish his work. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21 and 22 says, "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with him on my throne. Just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 and 5 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the one who overcomes the world. And you will rule and reign with the Master. Our Lord's radiant joy and unwavering peace stems from his implicit faith and confident hope. So let us glorify God for the Master's ministry, because he gives us solid acceptance, because he gives sincere unity, and thirdly, because he gives secure hope. A believer will experience sweet inner peace and radiant abounding joy when he sincerely seeks to follow the example of Jesus. You follow Jesus and you'll never regret it. Amen. You'll never be sorry as you walk with your hand in the Master. I've done that 50 years and I have no sorrows. I have no regrets. Walking after Jesus the past 50 years has been glorious. And the past 47 years with my sweetheart. Hallelujah. God is with us. And he gives us the strength to live a holy life, a beautiful life, a life that honors God. The purpose of the incarnation, the Lord's death, and the resurrection was to provide our salvation, making eternal life possible. And verse 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is here. And he works in our hearts and in our lives. You know, there's nothing better than knowing you're in the hands of the living God. Nothing better than knowing God is directing our steps. God is watching over us. As we read the word and pray, he leads us, he directs us, and he guides us. Trust in the Lord thy God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings in all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy steps. Nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. You know, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's here to receive you and take away your sins and give you hope. Amen. His arms are open. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, I challenge you to come to Him today. Challenge you to call on Him. Call on Him that you may be saved. Come to Christ, whatever your need, whatever your situation, He is able to meet and to give you hope. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of trials, come to Christ. Amen. He'll minister to you. He'll meet that need, and He'll give you strength.